Turn your Bibles. We're going to be in the book of Hebrews to start off. Book of Hebrews, and then we're going to be in the book of Exodus for a little while as well. But as you're turning to book of Hebrews, chapter 11, a couple little things here. What do you call a cow that has been knighted? Sirloin. Sirloin. Some of you got that. I don't know if you saw the news, but they had the smallest king. He was only 12 inches tall, but they said he was a great ruler. Amen. So this morning, I want to talk about the Passover lamb. Amen. How we feel. Okay, our feelings, how we feel changes based on our circumstances. Amen? We understand that. Our feelings change day to day and even hour to hour according to how things around us change. But when we consider our faith, faith is the foundation of our strength, not our feelings. Amen? Let's pick up in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's skip down to verse 23. Hebrews 11, this is that great chapter on faith, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing Jesus, seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. That's kind of what I want to focus on this morning is verse 28. By faith, Moses kept the Passover. Now, the question is, what is the Passover? Well, in the Old Testament, we can read, we've studied the life of Joseph. And if you study the life of Joseph, you understand that the children of Israel fled to Egypt to escape a devastating famine. But while there, they were made slaves to Pharaoh. Day after day, they were mistreated and overworked by Pharaoh's taskmasters. So they cry out to the Lord. God hears them, and he puts a plan together, a plan of deliverance. He puts it together for them. He puts it in motion. And the first part of that plan is that he calls a man named Moses to go and stand before Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world at that time, and command him to free the Israelites. Let my people go, was his words. Pharaoh refuses. So God sends a series of plagues upon Egypt to persuade him. But Pharaoh's heart remains hardened, and he still refuses. So God now sends word that he's going to send the death angel that night through the land of Egypt. And as the death angel passed through the land, the firstborn in every home was to be killed. Devastating. But God also provided a way of escape. God provided a way to avoid death. He instructed the people to take a spotless lamb, a lamb without blemish, and sacrifice it. They were to take the blood of that lamb, that spotless lamb, and apply it to the doorposts and to the lintel of their homes. Now, as the death angel passed through, when he saw the blood of the lamb, he would pass over that home and their lives would be spared. This is what the Passover is all about. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen? Now, the Jewish Passover and the Christian celebration of Easter, we need to understand, are forever linked together. The Passover is a foreshadow. It's a symbol of the cross of Jesus Christ. If you cut this Bible in half, anywhere, it's going to bleed. Amen? Because it's all about the blood of Christ. It's all about our redemption, our forgiveness through the blood of Christ. From Genesis all the way through Revelation. It's all about Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, the believers observed the Passover looking forward to the cross. Today, as New Testament believers, we celebrate Easter looking backward to the cross. Amen? Verse 28 again. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. So that Passover is all about that spotless lamb. Now, we consider a lamb for a moment. Consider some of the things that we know about lambs. They're innocent. Amen? They're one of the most innocent animals you ever come across, and they're also helpless by nature. They're also providers. They provide us wool, right, that we make clothes out of. They also provide their meat for us to eat. They're providers. And God chose that innocent lamb to deliver his people. Now remember, the Israelites were in the land of Egypt at this time. We need to understand that there's great spiritual significance about the land of Egypt in the Bible. Egypt is symbolic of the world and the flesh. Now, when I say the world, I'm talking about Satan's worldly system. Amen? Egypt is symbolic of the world and our sinful flesh. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is symbolic of Satan himself, the world's leader. In fact, if you were to look at Egypt's national symbol, it's what? A serpent. Amen? And that serpent was engraved on Pharaoh's crown, his headdress, his golden headdress. So I want you to make sure you see this spiritual picture here. On one side, we have this spotless lamb. This lamb that's without blemish and perfect. And on the other side, you have that cunning serpent. And that lamb is going to defeat that serpent. God is going to deliver his people from the land of bondage, from the land of sin, and he's going to deliver them with a Passover lamb. Amen? So keep all of that in mind as we consider a few points about the Passover lamb. First thing I want us to see is Calvary promised in that Passover lamb. We need to understand that Calvary was not an afterthought of God. Amen? Calvary was not God reacting to a circumstance at hand. He wasn't reacting to the situation in the world. Calvary was not an afterthought of God. It was in the heart of God before he even formed the world. We need to understand that. 1 Peter 1, 19 and 20. With the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, Jesus was indeed foreordained before the foundation of the world. Which means Jesus was the lamb slain even before this world was formed. This was not an afterthought, this was a forethought. Amen? Our redemption. So now let's flip back to the left in your Bible and go into the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus, chapter 12, if you would. We're going to spend the majority of our time in that chapter 12 of the book of Exodus. And we're going to start reading right at verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats.'" Verse 6, "Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight." Skip down to verse 11. "And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, with your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." So let's consider a few things about this Passover lamb and about Christ. First thing we need to see that it was a spotless lamb. Amen? Verse 5. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year." A spotless lamb. That is symbolic of Jesus Christ, the sinless, perfect Lamb of God. And they took this lamb and they put it under a microscope and examined it from head to toe. They examined it to see if there was any blemish whatsoever. Symbolic of Christ before the Sanhedrin and before the priests as they examined him and questioned him about his declaration as Messiah. It had to be impeccable, without any spot, without any blemish. Second thing we need to see about this Passover lamb, not only was it spotless, but it was also a sacrificial lamb. Go back to verse 3. It said, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th of this month, every man," again, "on the 10th of the month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for each household." Now skip down to verse 6. "Now you shall keep it until the 14th day." They selected on the 10th and they kept it until the 14th day of that same month. "Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight." So they were to take the lamb on the 10th day of the month, and then kill it on the 14th day, 3 days later. And the blood of that innocent lamb was shed as a sacrifice. Amen? The blood of that innocent lamb was to hold back God's wrath. It was to hold back God's wrath upon their sins until Messiah would come. It was a sacrificial lamb. God is showing us here in the Old Testament the promise of Christ to come. Hebrews 9:20 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." And he's talking about remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. There is no redemption for you and I. So it was a spotless lamb, it was a sacrificial lamb, and it was also a saving lamb. Verse 7, "And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and upon the lintel of the houses where they eat." Skip down to verse 12. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This little spotless sacrificial lamb now becomes a savior. Remember how they were to apply that blood? They were to apply it to the doorposts and to the lintel. What did I just make? A cross. Amen? The doorposts and upon the lintel. A cross. Now, I want us to understand, and I want to take note here, God was very specific where that blood was to be applied, wasn't he? And you'll notice it was never to be put on the threshold, the bottom part of the doorway. Never, ever was that blood to go on a threshold of the door, as the blood of the lamb is never to be stepped on or trampled over. Amen? The precious blood of the Lamb of God was never meant to be trampled on or stepped over. So when the blood was applied, we need to understand that that was an open declaration for all to see that whoever was in that house, that household believed and trusted in the blood of that lamb. Amen? An open declaration that they believed in the blood of that lamb, that they trusted in the blood of that lamb to be their savior. Listen, they could have decorated their door with 100 diamonds and 1,000 precious gems. They could have painted their door with pure gold, 24 karat gold. They could have posted a 100-page list of all the good things that they had done. But none of those things would have saved them from death. Salvation does not come from how much we give. It doesn't come from how many good things we do, how many good deeds that we do. It only comes from the grace of God through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will not send my wrath upon you. I will not send my judgment upon you when I see the blood of that lamb. We need to understand that we receive life through the death of Jesus Christ, the precious Lamb of God. So it was a spotless lamb, it was a sacrificial lamb, it was a saving lamb, but it was also a shared lamb. Going back to verse 7. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but only roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. A shared lamb. God was very specific how this lamb was to be prepared. It was to be put through the fire, and then the whole assembly was to break bread together. The whole assembly was to eat it together. God was giving us a foreshadow. This is symbolic of the New Testament church. Amen? Once we accept Christ as our Savior and as our Lord, we come together as an assembly. As the body of Christ, we come together as the church, the bride of Christ. Amen? We come together with other like believers. We come together in that sweet fellowship around the Lamb of God. Amen. We don't come together as a social hall, although we certainly fellowship one with another. But we gather together to worship the Lamb of God. Amen. The Bible says they were to eat all of the lamb. This is symbolic of receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Amen? We receive all of Him. When we accept Jesus Christ into our heart, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, He also must become Lord over all. Amen? We accept all of Him, Savior, Master, Lord, Messiah, all that He is. We receive all of it. Amen? The Bible continues, it says, not only were they to eat all of it, but they were to eat it with bitter herbs and unleavened bread. So let's consider bitter herbs. Bitter is symbolic of being broken. We come to Jesus with a broken spirit. Amen? When we've hit rock bottom. When we realize that we are a lost sinner. When we realize how undone we are without Jesus Christ and how empty our lives are, how void our lives are without Christ, we come to Him with that broken spirit. You see, it's godly sorrow that brings repentance, true repentance. Amen. Then it also says, it talks about that unleavened bread. In the Old Testament, and Jesus actually spells it out in some of the parables in the New Testament, that leaven represents sin. What is leaven? Well, think of leaven as yeast, right? What do you put yeast in? You put it in bread to make it do what? You make it rise up to make it puff up. Amen? That's why it's symbolic of sin. When we have sin in our life, what happens? We get puffed up with pride. It makes us rise up, think we're better than what we truly are. Leaven is symbolic of sin. And when we put it all together, what we're reading here about, you know, they had to put it through the fire. They had to eat all of it. They had to eat it with bitter herbs and unleavened bread. We put it all together. We are to be broken over our sins, and then when we receive Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, we are to be broken from our sins. Amen. We come to Jesus broken over our sins. Once we receive Him, then we are broken from our sins. We don't become sinless like He was, but we certainly sin less than we did before. Amen. That lamb was to be roasted with fire. We're all familiar with the symbolism there. That is symbolic of the fiery trials of life. Amen. We all have to endure those fiery trials, don't we? We all have to endure those hardships and those heartaches, and that's what is symbolic here. But then we think of Christ. The Lamb of God, think of what He endured. He not only had to endure the fiery trials of man as He took on human flesh, but He had to endure it on a whole nother level. He also endured the fiery wrath of God as He took our sins upon Himself on that old rugged cross. He who knew no sin, that perfect and spotless Lamb of God, became sin for us. And let me tell you something. We can't imagine what it means for holy God to become sin. That's why Jesus cried tears of blood in Gethsemane. And He said, Father, if there's any other way, He wasn't talking about being nailed to a cross. That's not what bothered Him. He was talking about taking on all of our sins. The sin of every wretched sinner upon this earth. Not just my sins and your sins here, but we're talking about the most horrific pedophile, murderer, rapist. He had to take all those sins upon himself. And that's why he cried. He said, "Father, if there was any other way." The lamb had to be roasted with fire. Skip down to verse 16. Second part of verse 16 says, "No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared for you." No work was to be done except to prepare for the lamb. Symbolic of how Jesus has done all the work of our redemption. He's done all the work so that there's nothing left that we can do. Not there was anything that we could do in the first place, eh? Not for our redemption. Symbolic of how Jesus has done all the work for our redemption, and the only thing that we need to do, the only thing that we can do, is prepare our hearts for that lamb. Amen. Prepare for the lamb. I want to go back up to verse 2 for a second. God says, "This month shall be your beginning of months." You see, that day was not the end, but the beginning. Amen? The moment that we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, that is when life truly begins. Everything before that was meaningless, had no value whatsoever. Our life truly begins the moment that we receive Christ, the Lamb of God, as our precious Savior. The Bible says, "For in Him we become a new what? A new creation." And once we're a new creation, look at verse 11. "And thus you shall eat it." Look at the requirements. "With a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet," or men, it would be our mandals, "and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Why did God say that? Because at that point when we receive Christ, it's time to get up, it's time to get moving, and it's time to get to work for the Lord. Have your shoes on your feet, your belt around your waist, and your staff in your hand ready to work. This Passover lamb is symbolic of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is that promised and prophesied Messiah. He is that Lamb of God who came to take away our sins. That perfect and innocent lamb that became sin for us. How amazing and wonderful is the Word of God.